When we left the disciples last week, they were waiting. Now, they didn't know what they were waiting for exactly, except that Jesus had promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. As they're waiting, they're praying for each other, they are taking care of each other, they are observing the regular times of prayer, and now they're observing a holiday, Shavuos. The term Pentecost is not originally a Christian term, but the Greek word for this particular holiday. It was one of the pilgrim festivals. It was a time when Jews from all over the world came to Jerusalem. It was connected with the barley harvest, and the reading that is related to this particular holiday, Shavuos, is the book of Ruth. Not surprising, Ruth deals to a great extent with the barley harvest, but also in this story, it becomes important because you see, Ruth is a Moabite, a foreign woman, a woman who would have been excluded and her descendants for 10 generations if you follow Deuteronomy literally. And yet, we're told in that story, she becomes the great-grandmother of David the king. They're preparing to celebrate this holiday. They are all in one room together. We understand there are about 120 of the followers of Jesus, men and women, young and old, there. And all of a sudden, there is the sound of a powerful wind. Now, it doesn't say there was a wind inside the room, but there was the sound of a powerful wind. I imagine it was like when you're sitting in your house and those straight line winds are blowing against the side of it and it sounds like it's going to take the whole house away. Or perhaps you have been near enough to a tornado to hear that freight train roar as it passes by. That's how I imagine the sound was, deafening sound in that room. And then as they looked around, they saw something like flames of fire hanging in the air above each head. Now, it doesn't say that their hair caught on fire. We're dealing with simile here, okay? Flames like fire, light like fire. They were being enlightened, you might say. And in the midst of this, they begin to speak. You can only imagine they would, but when they speak, the people around them from all parts of the world, you heard that list of places that Aaron read so beautifully. That's the reason that no lay reader wants to read this text, let me tell you. They all hear the good news of God's deeds of power and God's love in the language they understand, in a way that they can take it in. To me, this holiday, this Pentecost that we celebrate, is as much a miracle of hearing as it is of speaking. Because each person there hears in the way that they can best understand. Now, this must have been a really sensational and powerful experience. I'll tell you, I have been serving in churches for over 40 years, I have only had one Pentecost that came even close, and I'm going to tell you about it. I was serving at Blakemore a number of years ago. We had partnered with a church from Rwanda, and that congregation had services in the afternoon. We had services in the morning. Occasionally, we would do things together, but they wanted their own separate service with its integrity. And I understood why. Their music was different from ours. When they worshiped, they used several languages, the language of the Hutu people, the language of the Tutsi people, who, interestingly enough, at this time, had they been back in Rwanda, would have been butchering each other. Instead, they were gathered in a church sanctuary singing songs of praise to the God of love, standing side by side. Many of the songs were in French, and some were in English. It was a powerful experience just to be in worship with this congregation. And Boniface Centuro, the pastor, asked me if on a Saturday night, the Saturday evening before Pentecost Sunday that year, if they could have the fellowship hall, which, if you know Blakemore, is right underneath the sanctuary, if they could have the fellowship hall for a gathering, a Rwandan evangelist was coming through town, and they wanted to hear him on that Saturday night. Well, that Saturday night came, and I thought everything was working out the way it was supposed to, until I received a call from Reverend Centuro telling me that there had been a delay in the evangelist's flight. He wouldn't be coming in until much later that night. Could they do that same gathering at the same time we were doing worship upstairs? I said, sure. We weren't using both spaces. So during that particular Pentecost Sunday, those of us who were very quiet and stayed in our worship, you might be able to imagine that, were listening to the sounds of many languages rising up through the floor, of a preacher preaching in a language we didn't understand, of Hutus and Tutsis standing side by side, who, if they were someplace else, would have been butchering each other, singing about the love of God. And those many voices were rising up into our worship service, and it was Pentecost. It is the only time I've experienced anything like what's described in this passage in Acts 2. And I think there's a reason for that. Because if you read the rest of Acts, which many suggest should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than the Acts of the Apostles, you find that the Holy Spirit really doesn't always work in dramatic and sensational ways. Through the rest of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit works in some very ordinary ways, but its purpose is always the same: to allow those persons who might have been excluded, who might never have heard the word of God's love in a way that they could understand. Now, I think we have done that here. I think we have had numerous Pentecosts here that didn't fall on this particular Sunday of the liturgical calendar. I'm going to give you a few examples, but I could give you many, many, many more. Back in the 1960s, before the Methodist Church, as it was then, decided it was going to desegregate, this congregation decided on its own that they would welcome anyone, no matter their skin color, no matter their ethnicity. And people heard the good news of God's love in a way they did not hear it in other churches that said, you are not welcome because your skin color is not like mine, because your language isn't like mine, because you didn't come from the same country that I was born in. And then just a few years ago, this congregation decided that we would welcome our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters with open arms, and that the LGBTQ community would be a part of our community. Long before our United Methodist Church has decided that, in part because in other churches, our brothers and sisters were being told, you don't belong. You don't belong unless you're just like me in your sexuality. This church has been a part of the Pride Festival in Nashville for many, many years. We will be again on the 24th of this month. We will have on our t-shirts saying, God loves everyone unconditionally. And we will be walking with our brothers and sisters. Because you see, whenever anyone hears the good news of God's love for them, especially when they have been pushed aside or marginalized in some way, it's Pentecost. That moment is Pentecost. Example number two. I hadn't been here very long when two young mothers representing the Children's Council came to me and said, would you be open to having a children's time as part of this service? We had never done that before in this congregation. They knew that. But I told them I would certainly be open to it. I had done it everywhere else I'd ever served. And Children's Council prepared a proposal for the worship committee. They made that proposal, and it was that we have a children's time at the early service, and that we do it for 6 months and try it. Well, in that meeting, The worship committee got so excited by the fact that children were going to be visibly included in the worship that they said, no, let's do it at both services. And quite frankly, after the second or third week, you could not have taken it out of the service, except, of course, on communion Sundays, like this Sunday when we don't do it. On her way out of the service, one of the young moms who had first asked if I would be open to this stopped in front of me and said, did I say something wrong? Stopped in front of me and said, you just told the story you would have told in the sermon anyway, didn't you? I said, of course, because you don't have to talk down to children to include them. All you have to do is be concrete in your storytelling to include children. And now we have 2 and 3 baptisms a week in this church. We have scads of children who come down when it is time for the story, who come to Vacation Bible School. We have children who are growing up hearing from the very start the news of God's love in the way that they can understand it. And let me tell you, whenever anyone hears the news of God's love in the way they can understand it, it's Pentecost. Now, I'll be honest with you, not every congregation welcomes children. Children are squirmy. Children are noisy. They do not sit up straight the way they're supposed to and be quiet the way they're supposed to, and thank God they don't. Because that is the sign that the Holy Spirit has broken into our well-planned and well-prepared worship. That voice of that child is the voice of the Holy Spirit crying out for us to make room, not just for children, but for anyone who might feel pushed to the side. Example number 3. A couple of years ago, some members of this congregation came and told me about a program they had heard at another United Methodist church. The program was called Sunny Day. It was a respite program for people who were suffering from mild dementia. It gave them a safe place to be and fun things to do while their caregivers were getting a break. So this group went down and studied how the other church did it, brought that here, and now every Monday during the middle of the day, persons who are experiencing some form of mild dementia can come. Sometimes they hear music, sometimes they sing along, sometimes they hear stories. Often the children from the child care center will come up and visit with them. They have a wonderful time. And it's grown to the point that we do have enough physical space. We just don't have enough volunteers. We could take more people if more people could take some time out on Mondays. It's just a few hours to come and tell people who otherwise feel marginalized from their own life and their own memories, and often from the church as well, the story of God's love in a way that they can understand it. Sometimes hearing their story repeated again and again and again and again is the way of communicating God's love to them. Sometimes you are the story catchers who hear their story and you hold it for a while because it's being erased from the present going all the way to the past. Anytime any person is told of God's love for them as a child of God in a way that they can understand it, it's Pentecost. We could have Pentecost every day. Maybe we should have Pentecost every day. Maybe we should be watching and waiting like the disciples for what Jesus promised. He didn't just say it was going to happen once, and it didn't just happen once. It happened numerous times, as recorded in the book of Acts, numerous times in the history of the church, and numerous times in this congregation. And we have another opportunity, because you see, you're going to be receiving some new pastoral leadership here. Carol Cavendillen is going to be coming in my position, and Brandon Baxter is going to be coming in Chris's position. And frankly, it's a new opportunity. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing with you all as a congregation with this new leadership. Some of it may be sensational. Some of it may really be dramatic. Some of it may be the daily stuff of our lives. But if you love them in the same way that you have loved us, those of us who are remaining and those of us who are taking up new stages of life, then you can't help but experience Pentecost again and again and again and again. Because the Holy Spirit will be at work in everything you do. That wind and that fire that Jesus promised will be blowing through this. You can almost hear it, can't you? As I look around, I think I'm beginning to see a few lights above heads too. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is in this place and will go with you wherever you go. I want to close with a blessing. This is a blessing that comes from a wonderful little book I received as a present from a friend by a writer whose work I've known for a long time, John O'Donohue. It's a book of blessings called To Bless the Space Between Us. And I'd like to end with this blessing for all of us. Like the joy of the sea coming home to shore, may the relief of laughter rinse through your soul. As the wind loves to call things to dance, may your gravity be lightened by grace. Like the dignity of moonlight restoring the earth, may your thoughts incline with reverence and respect. As water takes whatever shape it is in, so free may you be about who you become. As silence smiles on the other side of what's said, may your sense of irony bring perspective. As time remains free of all that it frames, may your mind stay clear of all that it names. May your prayer of listening deepen enough to hear the depths of the laughter of God. May it be so. Amen.